Today we're going to focus on perturbation theory in the path integral formalism. So before that, is there any question from yesterday tutorial or any? Okay, so maybe just quickly, what we have now is that we started from this time evolution operator, what we call the propagator, or just matrix element in the position representation of this operator. You know that once you have that, you kind of know the evolution of the quantum evolution of your system. And now what we have is a representation in term as a path integral. So we don't have any operator anymore. It's just a classical function, but now we have this kind of integration over all possible paths, not only the classical path. And then using some semi-classical approach yesterday, what we did is to show that, in fact, when we are dealing with a quadratic Lagrangian, then this gives you exactly the path integral representation for this kind of Lagrangian. And then if you have more complicated Lagrangian, then you can compute the quantum correction to your classical solution. Okay, and so now I want to deal with kind of a different kind of approximation, which is the perturbation theory. So here the idea is that what we want is for a system where we cannot solve everything exactly, but usually the Hamiltonian or the Lagrangian as a part that we know how to deal with. For example, it's going to be quadratic, because right now it's a kind of, or it's going to be really free. But when I call free here, it means that usually it will be quadratic. So it could be the harmonic oscillator. And then you have another term that is beyond this quadratic term that is going to be called the interacting term. Okay? And so the idea is to separate this Lagrangian and then see that the total or the interacting system can be computed in a perturbative way, okay? So what are the different steps and what is the idea? So first, we're going to use this for compute two important quantity, okay? And it's kind of also related to kind of Elizabeth question, which kind of thing can we do with path integral? So indeed, we also have access to the energy spectrum. And for today, we're just going to focus on the ground state energy. But in the homework, you have to kind of look at any energy level. It doesn't have to be the ground state. And then another important quantity is this time ordered correlator on the ground state. And I'm not sure I will have time to do that today, but we come back on also what is the physical interpretation of this. So what is the idea? Of course, the idea is, so if this is one of our aim to determine one of these quantity for a system that we cannot solve exactly, okay, then it's first, can we express this quantity in terms of the propagator, okay? Because the propagator is what we know how to express as a path integral right now. And then is this system, can we write the system in such a way that the Lagrangian can be divided in a free and interacting part? Once we have that, we're going to see that usually the way we use is using this kind of functional method in the Euclidean path integral. And for that, what we usually going to see is that the interacting propagator can be written in terms of the free one if you add a source term. And adding by functional derivative on this free propagator plus source term is going to be able to recover the interacting propagator. Then the next question is, of course, can we evaluate this free propagator plus a source term exactly? And this is what you did yesterday in the tutorial. Okay, so you have seen that in the case of if your free, what I call the free propagator is the one of the harmonic oscillator, then indeed you can compute this object exactly. And then we're going to see that using functional derivative on this free propagator plus source, we can get a perturbative expansion of our system of interest, okay? So this is the general strategy that can be used for different objects. So I'm going to start with the ground state energy, but maybe before that, in general, if it was not just the ground state, the ground energy, if you were interested in the energy spectrum, to have access to them through the path integral, one important object is what we call the partition function. Okay, so it's kind of to answer question one. So here I'm going to focus on translate energy. And the system we're going to consider is what we call an harmonic oscillator. And I'm going to write explicitly what is this question in that way. But let me just take the time to introduce another quantity that is important. So to answer, like, this is related to point one, but it's a bit, in the case of the ground state, we're going to see that we don't really have to consider this function, but let's here first consider the notion of partition function. That is something that is going to be important in quantum field theory and statistical mechanics, so let's kind of introduce this object. And it's one of the simplest quantity that we can represent as a path integral. Because, so what is this object, partition function? So do you know what is a partition function? So of course, the idea is that I want to write it in terms of it should be related to the propagator. The partition function is a trace of your time evolution operator, okay? And of course, so here I did the weak rotation. So in this case, it's really very close to, it's exactly what will appear in statistical mechanics, where beta will be interpreted as the proportional to the inverse of the temperature of your system. It's called the thermal partition function. But this partition function also exists in the quantum field theory context or quantum mechanical context, usually when you do not perform the weak rotation. Okay, but here let's just consider that. So it's just a trace of my time evolution operator that I can say that it's from beta h or from zero the time. And so if I read this as if I choose as a representation the position representation, let me introduce now the matrix element of this operator. So the and this is what we have been dealing with up to now, which is the propagator. Okay. So indeed here, what you have is x and zero for the time, okay? And this object, you know it very well. We know how to express this as a path integral, okay? So now what does it mean here? In fact, you could write it here, and then so we could write this object here as the path integral, and then implement the delta function. So what is going to tell you the delta function? So now, if I want this as the path integral, so now this is the path integral representation. Path integral representation. So I'm going to have, since this is just the propagator, indeed I have something here, the measure on all possible paths. But so now, what should I write here? What is usually the which kind of path should I consider here?
That at beta h the path has to be at so there's that integral, but there's also one integral before, which is going to be the endpoint of the path, isn't it?
Yeah. So here I could write it with the endpoint of the path, but then I have this kind of delta function to implement.
Yeah, but I mean the what happened to the integration over x? So those two x's are different, right? One is over functions x, and one is over numbers x.
So here it's, yeah, so all here it's the same. This x are the same here.
Yeah.
But here now it's indeed it's a path integral. So this is the merger for my path integral. Okay. So here, up to here, it's I have nothing written in terms of path integral. It just, I wrote the definition. What is the trace of the time evolution operator? So I have two ways. Either I can expand here and write the delta function, or it's the same thing as integrating over. Like here, it just what I'm doing is I'm solving the delta function.
Yes, but what I was expecting was that we were gonna replace the k by a path integral.
Yeah.
The k, so leave the, so to leave the integration over dx alone. So,
yeah. Okay.
Replace k by a path integral, which would be restricted to those paths, which had endpoints at zero and a beta h bar equals to x, where x is the integral that is over there.
Yeah. Okay. So, so here, what you want me to write is just say, oh, this is a path integral.
But the y's maybe because we already used x.
And where x of beta h is so x and x of 0 is also x. And then you integrate over all possible x.
Uh-huh, exactly.
H for, yeah, but in fact, we can simplify because, so here, what this is telling you is that all path that satisfies this thing. So it's just telling you that here you consider all, you integrate over all possible x. So you can directly simply implement that in the one path integral, kind of forgetting about this integration here.
Because it's a periodic.
Yeah, it's kind of either you consider closed path, all possible closed path, or periodic path of period BH, okay, BH star. So very good. So here you can just directly implement this condition that you integrate over all these possible things in the path integral. So you just usually, we just write it that we just request this condition and the value of, without specifying the value of x, you see, like here, it can be any value of x because we have this integration over all possible x. And this condition defines indeed closed path, but it also corresponds to the set of periodic function with the period beta h bar. Okay, so here we have, so this is the path integral representation of this partition function. And my motivation to introduce this partition function is what I was telling you is, so this can be expressed as a path integral, this object. Nice, but I want to get out the energy spectrum. So now my question is, can you express also the same object? Okay, to make the connection between this path integral and the quantity you're interested in terms of the Hamiltonian eigenvalue here. So I want to introduce, what was my notation here? Yeah. So what is, what would be the expression of this object if I'm using this new basis?
The sum over n of e to the minus beta en.
Yeah. Okay. So you see that now I have kind of a relation between my spectrum, energy spectrum, and the same object can be expressed as a path integral. Okay, so this is kind of the first step as what you want to do usually to extract some quantity, physical quantity in the path integral formalism. You need, of course, to make this kind of connection. Okay. So, yeah, because what this means here is that means if we are able to calculate the path integral for all closed loop, then we should be able to read off the energy spectrum here. Okay, good. So Now let's, so still in step one, in fact, I'm going to use, since I'm just interacting in here, E0, I'm going to use a bit simpler object, just saying that instead of the trace, I'm just going to consider my propagator, but from 0 to, like, where I choose x prime and x prime prime to 0. Okay? And it will be sufficient to extract E0 here. So this is just for simplification, but it's not very relevant. So here, what I'm going to use, so my m is to extract E0 from something that I can express as a path integral. And so the object I'm going to consider is just the propagator with some specific boundary condition, which is this one. Okay, we're here, meaning that I've chosen x prime prime is 0. Okay, so it's just a specific choice. And so this we know from what we have seen the other day that this can be easily expressed as a path integral. So now the question is, how do we get the E0? So we get here, what is this object? This is just B H, where I want to introduce here a resolution of identity. Using the Hamiltonian eigenvalues, okay, x prime equals 0, just because I want to make sure that, so here I get an expression very close to here, except that I still have some normalization factor. And we could choose normalized quantities and it would disappear. Here it's just a wave function associated to the eigenstate of the okay, so now you see that what is by definition the ground state is going to dominate this object, okay? Because so beta is a positive object. So when beta is going to go to zero, to infinity, sorry. So now if to extract E0, we're going to consider this limit. And in this limit, so we have k, it may be right, an extra step here. So it's going to be, this is the dominant term. Plus some correction. So E0 can really be obtained in the limit where, so I need the minus coming from here. And where I consider the log of k divided by beta, okay. Okay, very good. So this was kind of the first step. This object we know to express as a path integral. Now we know if we are interested in the ground state energy, we know to extract it, okay? And so now, so this was kind of step one. Express the quantity with the propagator. Now let's, so any question first on this?
This background is really good.
Okay. Any question on this first step? So then the second step is to separate my system in a free part and interacting part. So let me maybe write which system I want to consider. The system I want to consider is for the unique oscillator. Meaning that the quantity I need to compute, the k I'm interested in here, is going to be as a path integral, is going to be the path integral of the exponential minus 1 over h bar of this action. So what is my action here is, sorry, I'm writing it as a Lagrangian, so it should be mx omega squared. Keep the 1/2 plus lambda okay, so here is the propagator for my system of interest. I know that abstractly I can write it as a path integral where I will have to consider the exponential of the action of my system where the action is given by this one. So now step two is to say, oh, I have something that I call the free Lagrangian and the interacting Lagrangian. So what is the free Lagrangian here?
The first two terms?
Yeah, because we've seen that this is just the harmonic oscillator. So by free here, that's why it's like quoting, it's not free v equals zero, it's just more, it's quadratic. That's because we have seen that when it's quadratic, we know how to solve that exactly. Okay, so the question is, when we separate this Lagrangian, it's really which part are we able to compute exactly, and which part are we don't know how to compute exactly, so we're going to add that as a perturbation. We consider that as a perturbation. So here, this is really what I call the free part. And this second part is my interacting part. Okay, good. So step two is done. So obviously, yeah, this path integral cannot be evaluated exactly. Okay, so that's why we will have to use this trick and to go to perturbation to get kind of a perturbation expansion to get some of this correction. Okay, so now what is the idea? The idea is to, step three, is to try to express so this full interacting propagator in terms of the free one where we're going to add a source term. Okay? And this is what you have been doing in the, considering yesterday in the tutorial. And also you have been using the trick I'm going to use just also to compute in the second problem was just to compute an ordinary integral, so you can really, yeah, it's also working. So here the idea is to, so this is step three. So what do I mean by the free propagator plus a source term? So I'm going to use this notation. So this zero like means that it's a free one, so it's the harmonic oscillator. And the J because I want to consider this object as a functional of this source term. Okay? So what this is going to be, I'm just going to write it directly again as a path integral. So here I'm a bit sloppy in the sense that I don't add the boundary condition, but you see that it's all paths satisfying the same boundary condition as here. Okay? Okay, so what is this exponential here? And I think maybe at some point, yeah, I may drop out the h bar just to simplify notation. So I said that we want the free propagator, so it's still the harmonic oscillator, or I can put it as Lagrangian zero if you want, which is just this 1/2 of m plus the harmonic oscillator potential. And I'm adding a source term. So that because it's in this Euclidean setting, it's with a minus here. Okay, and this is the object you considered yesterday in the tutorial to show for step four. You should be already convinced that indeed you can compute that exactly, this thing. It's still quadratic, okay? But so now what is the relation? Step three was to write it to relate these two objects. So how do we relate these two objects here? So the question is the relation between this and okay, because this I know how to compute exactly. So I want to express this one in terms of this and hopefully relate them. Okay, so maybe to give you an intuition of how things work, let's do, because this is something kind of important, you're going to use it a lot in QFT, so I want to spend some time on that. So let's define here, so this is, yeah, to answer this question, let me introduce this object, which is a propagator with the interacting term plus the source term. Okay, I'm considering the full one, and just go backward, see what could be the relation. So I want to, yeah, well, let's keep this minus one over h bar for the moment. So I have this L0 part. I'm still considering the lambda x to the power 4, but I'm also considering the source term. And obviously, it's going to help you to see how things work. So now, if I expand, let's expand this exponential part. Okay, so this is just a normal exponential. Now it's a function. So I can just say that here, so within, I can expand this as just an infinite sum. Okay, so it's sum over n of 1 over n factorial of, so here I have this factor minus lambda over h bar to the power n. So sorry, it's not an integration over x, it's an integration over tau here. So you have to be careful. And then I will have x to the power 4, power 1, power n, and then I keep the term that is still there is this one, so it's going to be,
I shouldn't
write it as k0 yet. It's the exponential of minus 1 over h bar of this L0 minus gx. And here I have out an integration. Okay, so here I just expanded in terms of the integration. Okay, so is that clear? Then now I can put that out, okay? So what I get is, this is my next steps. Of this still integration minus lambda over h bar to the power n. And what I want to say now is that, yeah, if I'm acting with h bar to the power 4 and the function of derivative evaluated at now my k 0 j, and I'm still integrating over this d tau 1 d tau n. So you see that when I'm going to act with a derivative, functional derivative of j of tau 1, I'm going to get out x tau 1, okay? But I want 1 at the power 4, so that's why I need to act 4 times. Okay, and because it's also going out h bar, 1 over h bar, I need to multiply by h bar to the power 4 for each term. So, okay, each of these functional derivatives give this term here, and I still have the integration. Okay, but now here I decompose my exponential as a sum over n. Now I replace this term by this operators, if you want, this functional derivative object, but I still have this sum over n, so I can recast this really as also an exponential. So here, what I get. This is indeed the exponential of, so I still have a h bar, that, but I'm going to forget about it. Lambda delta then this functional derivative to the power 4 that is acting on k. And so now you see that if you take the limit j equals to 0, once you did that operation, then you recover, then you really get the propagator you're interested with, okay? So here, if you plug j equal to 0, it's indeed the interacting, the anharmonic propagator that you have, and you can do the same thing here once you did this operation. Okay, so what is your, what we're going to use here is that k, the one we are interested with, okay, when j goes to 0, can indeed be expressed as you act with all these functional derivatives on your, lower. So let's write what is the important expression that we are interesting with here. So this is going to be the exponential. From now, I'm going to put h bar equal to 1, just for simplification. I will reintroduce for acting on k 0 of j, and then taking j equal to 0. And of course, this kind of this is really a huge operator, so we're not going to, in practice, we're never going to compute that exactly. What we're going to do is to do a perturbation expansion of that. And we can go to any order. So let me just write maybe the first order. And right now it seems complicated to compute all this derivative, but we're going to see that this is related, can be just be seen as a combinatorics problem where we're going to have, where if we use a Vick's theorem. So let's just write what is the expansion here. So the first term will give k0 of j evaluated at j equals 0. So it's going to be the harmonic oscillator 1. And then the correction in lambda is going to be given by minus lambda of and then you, once you have that, you take j equal to 0. And of course, you could go on with this expansion. But here, let's just say that we stop here. But so what is the interest is that if we have an explicit expression of this k0 j as a functional of j, okay, then we have access to, of course, the first order will be just the harmonic oscillator, but all correction in lambda, okay? So it's kind of super powerful. And this was, yeah, just so step 3 and a bit of step 5, because I already show you that it's indeed by acting by functional derivative and doing the perturbative expansion that we're doing, going to do things explicitly. So then the question of the tutorial was how to compute this exactly. So first, is there any question on this part? So we're going to work a bit on this functional derivative in a moment. But before that, any question? Yeah.
Does this give the same perturbation series that we're used to from what we used to call perturbation theory in quantum mechanics, like the things that we saw in our other quantum mechanics courses.
Nope. Yeah, so this one is, well, you have different kind of delta. If indeed it's like you work with, again, so in the operational framework, or meaning when you work with the operators, then of course usually when you have this perturbation theory, you go to this interacting picture where you have also the same idea. You have an Hamiltonian. Which part of this Hamiltonian can you solve exactly? And which part is going to be treated as a perturbation? And it's the same, it's here the same decomposition and same perturbation. Okay. Yeah.
Because for example, we used to, if I don't remember wrongly, for example, the first correction to the ground state energy then was the expectation value of the free Hamiltonian, right? Mm. Does that equal that?
Yeah, so we're going to compute it explicitly and you're going to recover what is, Okay, yeah, good to make the connection with what you're more familiar with. But so this is really the technique you're going to use in also in QFT. When you will be using path integral. Okay, so. Now, step four was to evaluate exactly this thing. And normally you did it in the tutorial yesterday. So everyone has time to do it explicitly, or the idea was to go at least until question four of problem three. So any issue with that? Or do you want me to go through kind of the steps? Yeah. Okay, this was a small yes, but I take it as a yes. okay, so maybe.
Up to now, where do we use the periodic boundary conditions?
So here, because I'm not dealing with, so we are not using them, because as I said, just to get E0, it's enough to consider just the partition function where you choose this specific boundary condition.
Yeah, I see, but there's also the periodic boundary condition.
Yeah, but specific one, you don't sum over all of them.
Yes.
So here, it's just that all these path integral are such as x of t prime, oh, here it's from 0 equals 0, and x of beta h bar is equal to 0 as well. The difference is that with this formula here is that you have the equality between them, but it can be 0, but it can be any value, okay? Here we just consider the case where we take this specific choice, okay? So this is a kind of simpler, but you can check explicitly that in the limit beta goes to infinity, if you consider E0 as the limit of that, 1 over beta log of k, and if you consider instead of the limit of 1 over beta of z, the partition function, you of course you get the same, it's still E0, okay, the first order. So there is no issue here to consider this kind of a bit simpler path integral. Okay, so what is the idea here? The idea is that this object is still, so this system is still described by a quadratic path integral, okay, a quadratic Lagrangian. So this means that what we did yesterday for the harmonic oscillator in the lecture is kind of still valid, meaning that this should be equal to something like, let me recall, h bar, then you will have the evaluation of your action. So now it's the action with j. On the classical solution. Times you will have some factor, and then the term that is left is this term in terms of what I call this A operator that was coming from the second order derivative of your action. Okay, so this is going to be your expression.
What is that dp?
Sorry?
That's an n, sorry.
Yeah, n is just like a normalization factor, like coming from what you're missing a constant. So we have these two contributions. So the first part of the story was to, yeah, you know, what is this compared to the harmonic oscillator? What can you say about this contribution?
Same.
Sorry?
Same.
Yeah, it's the same, okay? Because this A was coming from the second derivative of your action and evolving only the second derivative of your potential, and here the potential is the second, yeah, the linear term is going to disappear, okay? So here it's the same term as for the harmonic oscillator with d equals zero. Okay, so then we're going to use to determine this exactly. So the only thing we need to work on is this part, and this is what you did yesterday, is then to solve what is the new classical solution for this new action. But so let me write first before what will be the final result. Then, of course, we want to, usually we always normalize these things. So then what we're going to say is that we want to compute this object. In fact, okay. And so here, because this is the same term, where this k0 is the harmonic oscillator with j equals zero, okay. So here it's just going to be minus 1 over h bar, the action with the source term evaluated on the classical solution, times plus 1 over h bar coming from the k0 of the action for the harmonic oscillator evaluated on the classical solution of the harmonic oscillator. Okay? And so here, since we computed k0 yesterday, just let me remind you what is the solution. This is just m omega of t sh of omega t time this where we don't even need to have the exact expression here, because now from these two things I can conclude that x 0j is just going to be given by this factor so m omega h bar we forgot about the h bar because I'm going to talk about it later and times the exponential so this is going to cancel with this one so really the only thing we have to work out now we even know what is the constant already so minus 1 of So let's call this constant C right now, a constant. So the only thing we need to work out is this object. Okay, so you see that it's kind of simple. And so let me now, and what I'm going to tell you is that this can be written in this form. So the only important thing is really the dependence in J here, because we want this as a functional of J. And I'm telling you that you have this kind of expression. And then I'm going to explain roughly where this comes from. Where here, this is a Green function for your system.
Sorry, I have a question about this part, because the XC, we have the homogeneous term and homogeneous part and inhomogeneous part. For mm-hmm. Inhomogeneous part, we have this contribution, the G, J, G, the Gaussian part. But for the homogeneous part, we have the X0.
Yeah.
What about that part? Because x, we maybe have an additional part of x.
Yeah, so here it's, the name is not the same constant here. So the x0 you're mentioning, the inhomogeneous part anyway, won't have any dependence in the j.
You mean you remove the j to absorb the.
Yeah.
But we will have an additional constant.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, let's write it indeed. Maybe you're right. So let's, so here indeed, is it the same constant? So let's just look at this thing. And you're right that, so now we have some, our equation of motion is, so what are the equation of motion that should x of c satisfied? So the same equation of motion as the harmonic oscillator, except that you have this, instead of equal to zero, it's equal to j. Okay. So instead of having a homogeneous differential equation to solve, you have this inhomogeneous differential equation to solve. So you know that the solution, the general solution, is going to be the solution of the homogeneous one plus a particular solution. And this particular solution was what you had to solve yesterday in the tutorial, was in terms of the of this Green function. Okay. Where here, the Green function is defined as, so what was the Green function? So maybe there are two steps. So we can look at what is that. And also here, the claim is x of c is x of c zero. That is the one for the homogeneous system. That is just the harmonic oscillator, plus a solution that is going to be of the form g time, plus a particular solution that we're going to. And this one is obtained by solving for the Green function.
Yes.
So let's have a look here first at the Green function. So the Green function was the solution of this equation. So it just really the same operators for the harmonic oscillator, but your Green function, you ask that it's as a delta function here. And the boundary condition are beta h bar and zero, it's equal to zero. Okay, so this was the Green function you wanted to solve. Now, how can we, so here the same thing as before, what we want to do is to do an integration by part of our action. So we have this term. Where, and this is the one that is going to, we're going to use x of minus 1/2 of x squared plus the potential of the harmonic oscillator plus the j term, minus j, yeah. Okay, and I should have changed board. It's here. So let me maybe, sorry about that. I'm going to confuse. Okay, so let's go back to, now I have this action and evaluated an x of c, and what I'm saying is that I'm doing an integration by part first. So I'm missing x here, and because I did an integration by part, here I can factorize now by x, and I get this equation. Okay, why am I doing that? So, So maybe I have an additional term. So the idea is that I can focus only on the, so here, this is zero. Because at the boundary, x prime is zero, and x prime prime is zero here. OK? OK, good. So now let's focus on this term. How can you simplify this one? What do you get here? You remember that we did this, we used this trick in the just harmonic oscillator case, and the harmonic oscillator case for any boundary condition, the only term contributing was this one, in fact, because here it was just the equation of motion. So here, is it exactly the equation of motion, or can you simplify that?
Sorry, I have a question about boundary term. Here we chose the boundary to be both at the 0 point.
Yeah.
But what if we shift the boundary to be at like both to be x equals to a?
Yeah, but then you get additional terms here. Yeah. That are not different.
That's the constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the solution here?
I mean, you can get rid of the first two terms, and then you only have 1/2 j.
Yeah. Okay. So the first two terms, like the equation of motion, is going to tell you that this is indeed 1/2 of j. So with the minus one here, you get minus 1/2, I guess. So here, this. So here we're using equation of motion. Okay, which is now the equation of motion for this harmonic oscillator with the source. So now we're only left with minus 1/2. X and j, where we use the equation of motion. OK, and so now this means that indeed what we have here is, if I use what I just got, is this should be equal to c exponential of minus 1/2 of d tau, x of c of tau, d of tau. And then by definition, this x of c of tau is this x0 plus a particular solution that is written in terms of this green function that is g times the green function. Okay? So here we get exactly that, but indeed you're right that the c here might be different because you need to have the x0c that is reabsorbed here. No, but the x0c, what I'm saying, x0c will have some j too. No, this is not the correct argument. Sorry, so which step am I missing here? So you should have done that yesterday. So yeah, I'm missing one. So here, yeah, I didn't write it carefully. So this is x of c of tau times c of tau. And then the idea is to say that this x of c is gj, OK? given by the Green function.
Yeah, because X is the convolution of G.
But now, yeah, I did, regarding your question with where is this X C zero going? I've lost the argument. Anyone see? Okay, so here what we did is was to simplify this action evaluated on the classical solution using the fact that we have this specific boundary condition here and using the equation of motion, so we are only left with this term. Then this solution of the equation of motion of two term, one term, which is in term of the Green function time j, that will give the contribution that I wrote there exactly.
I have one guess that this integral is infinite integral instead of finite integral, so it has no relations with the beta. So we cannot see this factor in the final energy level. So I think there may be this factor, but we cannot see it.
Yeah, but the point is that anyway, the x of c is multiplied by j. So here the idea was to find, so what we want is to find what is the dependence of this functional of on j, okay? Because this is what we're going to use. So let's keep that as a question. So up to here, this is clear. Then this term is clear from the particular solution in terms of the Green function. Then I'm missing the argument why we don't have the other one. So if no one has the answer now, let's use this to go to the next step, maybe. And hopefully it's going to come back. Maybe let's skip this step. So I'm going to use this boron. So now, let's consider that we have the exact expression of as C and an exponential of and now we're going to use the fact that K0 our functional of interest can be expressed as this one when J is equal to 0 plus minus at the first order the functional derivative, power 4 of this k0 of j . Okay, so we have all the ingredients. So now it's step 5. We need to be able to take functional derivative. Okay, so let's start with a simpler example, and you're going to do it to see really how this works. And then tomorrow, I will give you the weak theorems that is going to help you to don't do things very explicitly. So let's say that I want you to compute just at the quadratic. So just the second order of this same kind of function. Let's call this thing x. So can you work on that? So what do you get here? And maybe write things carefully with all the delta functions that this is implying and see how it simplifies. Then of course you will be able to go faster, but so I'll let you 1 minute to do it. Just to make sure. What do you get? So we can do step by step, do the first functional derivative. So if we do the first functional derivative, it's going to act either on g tau 1 or on g tau 2. And in either case, you will get a delta function of tau minus tau 1 or tau minus tau 2. Okay, so you get these two terms if you keep everything. So let's just do the first one. And here you get so this. Is still g two plus a delta a g and then of course you can before doing the second functional derivative. You can solve the delta function. So you get just one integration. So to J. Now. Star one, and then you get star one. Okay, so you do the same thing for the second term, where now the j is going to act. But here, you have some delta function appearing. So what do you get at the end?
2g total.
Yeah. And so in our case of interest, we want to take four derivatives of, in fact, the same enough object, except that since it's in the exponential, you have all the power of this. And we're going to take j equal to 0, OK? So which contribution are we interested in here, since we're going to set j to 0?
We're interested in the case where we're only doing two functional derivatives.
No, this one now. So this.
We're interested in calculating when we have four j's, right?
Yeah, okay, so it's going to be
square the square.
Yeah, very good. So you get something very similar then. What is going to be tricky in this, so you can do explicitly the calculation, you see that it's going to be this number that is just some combinatorics here. And so all the questions are always going to be about how do you get the correct number if you don't want to do all step by steps. And so this is going to be helpful at some point of the weak theorem. But so here, so let's just say that we did the same thing, that you did the same thing that you did here, just considering, so here's a relevant term, is the term that is quadratic, quartic, meaning that you have 4J. And so because you take 4 derivatives, then you take J equal to 0. So here, what you would get is that this is equal to C time 1 coming from this term. And then the first contribution is going to be minus 1 over 8 lambda. And then the contribution you have is d of tau of 4 factorial. And you will also get the g tau tau squared now. Okay, so you can really do the same thing. So in this case, then, that's why you see what you need is really the explicit expression of this g, this Green function. So in this case, what you should have computed yesterday, and if you take into account that what we want to take at the end is just the limit beta goes to zero, goes to infinity. Okay, so the boundary condition that you can choose for your Green function as are just when tau 1 goes to minus infinity, it's equal to zero, and tau 2 goes to plus infinity, it's also equal to zero. Okay, so with this boundary condition, what you get with tau, which is given by 2m omega, where here you choose as boundary condition t1. So the limit, sorry, when tau 1 goes to minus infinity of this k equal to 0, and tau 2 goes to infinity, it's also equal to 0. Okay, and so using that, you get now k0, and we're almost done for getting the first correction on your ground energy here. So c1 minus beta lambda, then I guess you have a 32 coming out, m omega squared plus, that you can rewrite as an exponential, because then you want to compare that, you want to take the log, okay? So you can just say that this is indeed still plus a correction in at the first order in lambda. So what you shouldn't forget, because we're going to take the limit beta goes to infinity here, is that c is in fact a function of beta, okay? The big T here, beta is my big T, is my, so here I should have written some color, more specifically here in this context, it's what I call beta, okay? So I just have to be careful with that. But so what I get is that now I can go to, so this is a function of beta, E0 as the limit when beta goes to infinity of this 1 over beta k And I don't know what I wrote here. But using that, yes, sorry. You can show that indeed you recover as a first order, of course, in reintroducing using h bar to get the limit, to get the right unit. So check here the units as an exercise. So here you get h bar omega with a 1/2, which is exactly what you get from the harmonic oscillator, and then you get the first correction. And here it's not omega, it's a lambda, so first correction in lambda. Okay, so this gives you a way, and of course you could go on order by order, by just using that here, you could go to lambda squared. And again, it will be an expression in terms of the Green function that you can compute explicitly. And then you have all correction term by term. OK? So here, it's really we went step by step in this kind of very general things, where the idea is indeed what, so we want to use the path integral formulation. So the quantity we are interested in need to be related to the propagator. That is something we know. Then, even if we have a system where we cannot solve exactly, if we're able to find a part where we can solve and have the interaction, then we can do any kind of, we can go at any level in the perturbation expansion compared to this non-system. Okay. So this is a way you would do it, to go step by step. So in the homework, you will consider not only E0 by En and try to compute correction. So you will work with the partition function here. But kind of the idea is then similar. OK, any questions on that? Yeah.
Yes, I was just wondering, here when we're taking our fourth derivative with the J, so the K0 we're using was right beside where you wrote number 5?
Yeah.
So we're like expanding that and then taking derivatives.
Yeah.
I was a little bit lost into.
Yeah, so you, exactly, so you say that. So if you want, you can write this as a, because the idea is that because you take J equals 0, okay, the only term that you're interested is when you take this fourth derivative, you get a constant. You don't get any j's left, okay? So you can really expand your exponential term by term,
yeah,
and focus on the one where you have 4j, which is indeed what you did just in the simpler case here. Yes. Where you focus on this simpler function. But you see, I didn't write explicitly as an exponential. I just gave you the term that is relevant if then you were putting j equal to 0. So you can do the same with this term and compute extract, and then you will get, so the factor, so yeah, I guess m is missing somewhere here. The m factor is coming, the factor is coming. You see that here you have a 2 coming from the fact that you do it twice. Here you have a square and you need to do 4 times, so you will get this factor coming out.
Right.
But yeah. But it's exactly the same calculation except longer.
Okay.
Because you need to take the fourth derivative, so you need to consider the term in your action, in your exponential that is quartic in J here.
Okay.
But indeed, it's good to see how this works explicitly, because then you're going to use kind of some combinatorics method, but you're going kind of to forget where this is coming from. Okay, so then the other thing I wanted to compute is this correlation function here that we have. So here is this vacuum expectation value of a time order product of Heisenberg field operators. Okay. And we're going to see that this is kind of can be really obtained from a generating functional, meaning that it's going to be here k0j can be seen as our generating functional for our system of interest. So what do I mean by generating functional? It's in fact a functional where from that you can get all the all the important physical information of your system. So the idea is now we're going to focus on that. This is a very important quantity in quantum field theory, here we see. And so this is kind of a motivation why we're going to deal with that even in the, to deal with the analog of that in the quantum mechanical system, where we're going to consider a vacuum expectation value of time ordered operators, okay? And we can call this object a Green function again, so it can be confusing, or a correlation function. And so we will really use the same idea as we used here. And maybe here, so this kind of object, once you know this, the expectation value of x, this means that then you can reconstruct kind of any operator that is a function of the operator x, okay? So it's really, if you know this kind of function, you know kind of all the physical information of your system. So then the question could be like about this trick that we're using of adding a source term. Is it really just a mathematical trick? Or because it seems that it's super strong. Because we're going to use the same method, this means that here, adding a source term seems to give you all the physical property of your system. Okay, because then you have access to all this kind of function that is really what you need to know the physical property of your system. So the one question could be, is it just really a mathematical trick, or is it a bit stronger? And in fact, if you think about experimentally what you would be doing to find out properties of a physical system, okay, that is interacting, usually, like just for example, an atom, is that you will let it interact with an external perturbation. Okay, so for example, it's indeed a source. Okay, and like for example, it could be just an electromagnetic waves, and then you would study the response of your system. Okay, so indeed, this is kind of a mathematical trick, but it kind of comes from an empirical fact, and it's kind of the formal counterpart of this empirical fact that usually to get physical property of your system, you're going to make it interact with something that you can control, an external source. Okay, so here's this idea of this adding a source term and to define what we call the generating functional that is going to be the object that in fact contain all the important physical information of your system is kind of really, it can be seen as as a formal formulation of this experimental fact. Okay, so let me maybe introduce some vocabulary here that will be useful for tomorrow. And again, so now we are interesting. We're kind of going to use the same approach, but here I'm going to formalize this more in terms of generating functional, which is a really important object. And see also, it's also going to give you an important property of this path integral formalism, where we're going to see that this time ordered, the path integral is kind of doing the path ordering naturally. So it's kind of super powerful. And it's kind of nice to see it, so how it works. So let's focus on this kind of function. So the next part will be still in the perturbation theory, but we want to talk about correlation functions, and in particular, what we will need is the notion of generating functional. So I'm going to define what is this time order product that we kind of already mentioned. But I want to consider this kind of function and so for a bit, I'm going to go back to the real time, okay, without weak rotation, just to start the discussion maybe more easily. And then just because we need to go back to, at some point we will have to go back to the Heisenberg picture, so it can be easier to. So here it's operator in the Heisenberg picture, and I'm taking the time ordering of this operator, and I want to find what is the expectation, vacuum expectation value. So here it's the vacuum, okay, of your system, so it doesn't have to be, it's not x equals zero, it's a vacuum state. So this is what you call your correlation function. And I'm going to go back on, so of course the first step, but I won't do it today because I don't want to start something like this, is to express this quantity with the propagator. So of course, one issue maybe you can have is we define the propagator starting from the Schrodinger picture. Here, this operator in the Heisenberg picture. So we first need to kind of make a connection between the two and to express this as a, to express this as the commutator. But another important object that we're going to introduce that is really close to what we call K0j here is to have this generating functional. So let me just define it. And we'll see that the generating functional can be obtained. We're going to write it as it's going to be also the time ordering of still as an operator here. And this is what we're going to call everything. Functional. And indeed, we're going to show that acting by a functional derivative with respect to this field J, we're going to be able to get all of this function, okay? So really, this is kind of an important object, it contains all the physical information that you need about your system. Okay. So just what I can do today before giving more details about that. So tomorrow what we're going to study is what does it mean to write this as a path integral, and see that what is really nice about the path integral is that this time ordered product that you maybe don't like so much is going to be naturally implemented within the path integral. You don't have to do anything, it's going to make it for you for free. So it's kind of a nice property of the path integral. And then we're going to see how we can relate that to the generating functional and kind of apply this program to that. So to conclude, let me just finish by defining what is this time. Again, that I already introduced, but ordered product. Like this will be, and then tomorrow we'll start with the path integral representation for correlation function. So the time, the t product of Heisenberg operator, so here I have two, let's say, I have two Heisenberg operators. Then T of A T1 B T2 is just A T1. So again, it's operator, so they're not supposed to commute. That's why you need to be careful with the order. A 81. Where here I'm using the Heaviside function. That you should be familiar with, which is defined so in such a way that it's equal to 0 when t is less than 0 and 1 when t is greater than 0. Okay, so it's just the step function. So here, meaning that if t1 is greater than t2, okay, you have this term. So in this order, with t1 first and t2 second. But if t2 is bigger, is greater than t1, then bt2 is before a t1. Okay? And of course, this can be generalized to the case of more of three than three operators. And yeah, so this is just the definition. So tomorrow, again, the starting point will be to define this kind of object as a path integral. Okay? How can we do that? So in terms of a kind of a propagator, if you want. And then we will see that in the case where the system we consider is not described by a Lagrangian, we know how to solve exactly, we can do this trick. And then the generating functional will be used, is what I call here, will be acting like, yeah, it's where you add the source term. And by acting by functional derivative, we're going to see that we have access to all of them, okay? So, but still, we need to be able to write this kind of time-ordered operator of Heisenberg operator as a path integral, okay? So this will be the next steps tomorrow. Is there any questions? So, yeah, I think, so when are we? Yeah, Wednesday. So we have two lectures left. So tomorrow we'll finish on the perturbation theory. And then I was thinking on Friday, well, it depends how fast I'm going tomorrow, to do a kind of introduction on fermionic path integral. Just so in QFT1, you won't do that, but in QFT2, you will work in QFT, or at the QFT level. But does this mean that you need to be kind of familiar with Grassmann number and this kind of thing? Are you already familiar with that? Or?
No.
No, so maybe it's good to have a short introduction. At least you already kind of know what it is. And then, because in the quantum field theory, framework context, of course, it will be already with field, so you will have additional complications. So maybe if we deal with that in the quantum mechanical context, it's kind of a bit simpler. So yeah, let me know if you're interested by that. This is something I can prepare for Friday. And yeah, otherwise, have a good day. See you tomorrow.